It's the Kim Munson Show, analyzing the most important stories.
An early childhood taxing district, what on earth is that?
The latest in politics and world affairs.
I don't think that we should be passing legislation that is so complicated that people kind of throw up their hands and say, oh, I can't understand it.
Today's current opinions and ideas.
It is not fair that just because you're a big business that you get a break on this and the little guy doesn't.
Is it freedom or is it force? Let's have a conversation.
Indeed. Let's have a conversation. Happy Friday. Welcome to the Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson. Be sure and check out my website. That's Kim Munson, M-O-N-S-O-N.com. You can email me at kim@kimmunson.com as well. Go over to Facebook and give us a like. And be sure and sign up for our weekly newsletter. It comes out on Sundays. And we have added in our new podcast, Sounding Off with Kim Munson, as well as our op-eds. There'll be an op-ed from Jane Chaney over in Gunnison County, as well as one of my op-eds. And there will be three very good podcasts as well. One of those will be with Reggie Carr and Johnny Thomas, who we had on the show yesterday. They founded I'm a Trumpster, and we'll be doing a podcast with them later today. Reverend C.L. Bryant, you know him. He'd been with the NAACP. His star was rising with them. And then when he said that he really could not support and go to one of their pro-abortion rallies, he said a star that was headed, you know, to the moon with the NAACP suddenly took a turn. But he is just a very important voice here in America, and want to talk with him about what is happening regarding race. And so he'll be one of our podcasts. And then Steve Ryder, we recorded this yesterday. His wife passed on about age of 40 after being in the hospital for over 21 days. They did not get to see her. She died alone. And that is one of the very cruel things that has been happening with this COVID-19 Wuhan virus reaction disruption, as people have been dying alone. It's absolutely tragic. So be sure and sign up for our email newsletter. But happy Friday. It is a beautiful morning. I tell you what, the good Lord was showing off with that that sunrise this morning, producer Steve.
He was. And it's kind of the cool thing about this time of year. I get here kind of on the earliest side, but we'll always make it a point. Our windows face the west, but I will make a point to walk to the east side of the building to watch the sunrise, and it was
impressive.
Inspiring.
It was very impressive. A big show planned for you today, very jam-packed. We'll be talking with Scott Pressler in this first hour. Apparently he's been going around helping clean up damage from these riots, and so he's been going around the nation, and we'll talk with him. Lauren Levy and Karen Levine will be with us in the second segment. Lauren Levy with Polygon Financial Group, and Karen Levine, award-winning RE/MAX Alliance Realtor. And then we'll talk with Jason McBride at the bottom of the hour. Very important show planned today, though. This is June 5th, 2020. 76 years ago, June 6th, 1944, was D-Day. And so in our third and fourth segment, we will be talking with retired Air Force Major General Bentley Rayburn about D-Day, the strategy. It is amazing what happened that day. And that's when the Allies began to liberate Europe and arrived on the shores of Normandy, France. So it is a very important day, and you'll be inspired from the stories. And so we want to refresh your memory on that. Couple of things, several things. First of all, talk to Jen Hewlin, talk to Helen Raleigh and Dr. Paul Prentice. And we are on for June 22nd for our Three Punches to Knock Down Democrat Socialism, our salon series. It will be at Water's Edge Winery. And to buy your tickets, you can go to my website, kimmunson.com. It'll be very important. So you can buy your ticket, and then when you get there, you can purchase whatever food and drink that you want to have as well. And very excited about that. On June 26th, we will be having a big celebration party with Reggie Carr and Johnny Thomas's I'm a Trumpster bus. And we are helping them raise the money to wrap the bus. It's $10,000. They have financed everything that they're doing, 98% of their own money. There's been money that's been promised to them by people that you think would help them. And, you know, when it was time to actually write the check, it hasn't happened. And so you and me, us, you know, us, the grassroots people, need to help them do that. So $50 donation means that, or contribution means that you can be part of the party, and there's going to be all kinds of media stuff that Johnny and Reggie are going to be doing. And then also they have these really cool battle masks that you'll get one of those. So, of course, if you contribute $100, you get two people can come. And if you can help us with more, that would be great. So what you need to do is go to imatrumpster.com and contribute there, and then just shoot me an email at kim@kimmunson.com and let me know that you were part of that. Okay, very quickly, I wanted to run through some anecdotal things. And first of all, regarding COVID-19, I've had two different friends that have reached out to me. Christy said she had some family members. She had a brother, a sister-in-law, a brother-in-law, and one of their parents, who was 85, all got COVID-19. The 85-year-old father ended up having to go to the hospital, but they have all recovered. She thought that might be nice to know that they'd all recovered, Steve.
Well, I mean, I'm glad for her situation. I'm glad to hear that good news, but I think there are literally millions now who did have it, and you know, they recovered.
And they have recovered.
Yeah.
Okay, and then another anecdotal story that someone shared with me is a friend of theirs got COVID-19. Apparently, the family had all been together, and the mom gets COVID-19. And she has a concierge doc who prescribes hydroxychloroquine, and she gets better, almost immediately, within like 6 hours. Her husband gets COVID-19, and same doctor, hydroxychloroquine, gets better. Son has a different healthcare provider who will not prescribe hydroxychloroquine. And so the woman talked to her doctor, and he said, okay, yeah, I'll go ahead and prescribe that. And the son was going downhill. And so the doctor would not prescribe it for him. So the other doctor does. He takes hydroxychloroquine, and he gets better. Which that goes to very quickly one of our headlines, and I think that we'll be talking more about this next week, is that three of the doctors that had come out and said that hydroxychloroquine didn't work, they now have retracted what they were saying. So, my friends, there's been all kinds of lies that's been going on out there. And lastly, about 10:30 last night, I got a text message that this legislature is going to hear and try to pass that Senate Bill 163, which is, it comes down to a forced vaccination bill. Now, it's couched in different language. They're going to hear that on Sunday, Steve, and probably they're going to hear that virtually. So no longer will your representatives and you be in the same room where you can face them. This is all kind of like a banana republic kind of situation. And so they are asking for people to show up at the State House this Sunday at 11 o'clock. So I guess since, in this banana republic, they basically have the churches shut down. You can go to your virtual church earlier in the day, and then you can show up down at the Capitol. My friends, this is so, so important. And Patty has a number of other things on the headlines as well, that it is just astonishing what they're working on trying to push through. Another very important headline, and oh, you know what? I need to go to our quote. It's such an important quote. It's Ike Eisenhower. Let's get to that. And that is, as you know, Ike Eisenhower was the American Army general and statesman who served as the 34th president of the United States from 1953 to 1961. During World War II, he became a five-star general in the Army and served as supreme commander of the Allied Expeditionary Force in Europe. He was responsible for planning and supervising the invasion of North Africa in Operation Torch in 1942 and 43, and the successful invasion of Normandy in 1944-45 from the Western Front. He was born in 1890. He died in 1969. And Steve, this is what he said. He said, "A people that values its privileges above its principles soon loses both."
And here we are.
And here we are. You don't need to say a whole bunch more about that, I guess, at this point. Speaking of principles, this is one of our headlines. Oh, and thank you to the team. You know, Zach, Patty, Keith, Charlie, and Steve. There you are. Thank you to all of you and to each of you listeners. I wish you a great weekend. You need to continue to get your brains around these issues and take a look at principles. And one of the things that I find absolutely astonishing, this is from the Colorado Sun, that John Hickenlooper, you know, he is a candidate for Senate. He's been held in contempt by the Ethics Commission after snubbing his subpoena. So I guess the law doesn't apply to him, huh, Steve?
If you were subpoenaed and you would ignore it, what would happen to you?
Well, you'd probably get a little trip down. Yeah, down to the jail. Probably.
We have a special set of bracelets for you, and we're going to drive you in this nice car. I don't know. I think is the guy deliberately. What's the word? Is he deliberately harming himself? He was already quoted. He can be quoted as saying he was not interested in being a U.S. senator. Now, is this the poison pill he's going to take to make sure it doesn't happen?
You think instead of doing that, you think you might just, if you didn't want to be a senator, just get out of the race. Mm-hmm. But this is an ethics investigation regarding, I think... I want to say it was like riding around on an airplane. He didn't, report it. It was a private airplane. Yeah. I can't remember what it was exactly.
Yeah, it was transportation related.
Yeah, yeah.
Even so far as to go over to Italy, gee whiz, that's pretty nice.
It is pretty nice. So anyway, he snubbed the rule of law. I find that very frustrating. Another thing that Patty has on here, this is just, again, astonishing. The Senate has introduced here in Colorado Senate Bill 20-217, and it would be a bill that would require appropriations totaling about $1.4 million to the Departments of Law, Public Safety, and Human Services. And it would make changes related to peace officers, including mandating the use of body-worn cameras for local law enforcement, requiring data reporting on use of force and other incidents, prohibiting certification or hiring of peace officers convicted of certain offenses relating to the use of force, modifying allowable use of force by peace officers, and creating a new civil cause of action relating to the constitutional rights violations by peace officers. It will increase state and local expenditures on an ongoing basis beginning in 2021. In essence, this looks like this is really going to tie the hands of our police officers at a time when we have, again, and it's Democrat representatives that are fomenting the division in America, and then they are going to try to tie the hands of those that would stand to protect life, liberty, and property, Steve.
I don't know. With all that's going on this week and the last 2 weeks, I said it twice now, stop the world. I want to get off.
Well, you can't. We have to stay here and fight. Let's go to break. When we come back, we'll be talking with Lauren Levy with Polygon Financial Group. This is, as much turmoil as there is out there, there is always opportunity. We need to always be looking at opportunity. And Lauren Levy can certainly help people with these historically low interest rates regarding mortgages. And so we'll go to break and we'll be right back.
Predovich and Company understands that the COVID-19 Wuhan virus disruption has individuals and businesses scratching their heads with a variety of bookkeeping, tax planning, and accounting questions. Predovich and Company knows that you need trusted professionals to help you navigate these choppy waters. Kim Munson highly recommends Predovich and Company. Because of their advanced technological capabilities, Predovich and Company can help clients anywhere in the United States. Call Predovich and Company at 303-791-3000 to organize your personal and business finances. Call 303-791-3000 today.
Now more than ever, it is important to have independent voices bringing truth and clarity to the issues facing us, our families, our communities, our state, our nation, and our world. The Kim Munson Show is one of those important voices. Kim is a truly independent entrepreneur. She purchases her broadcast time, which gives her total freedom in production of the show and scheduling of guests. If you'd like to support the Kim Munson Show, go to her website, kimmunson.com, and click on the contribute button under Kim's picture. Kim greatly appreciates your help and support.
You think? Hey, welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson. Be sure and check out my website. That's Kim Munson, M-O-N-S-O-N.com. You can email me at kim@kimmunson.com as well. And go over to Facebook and give us a like. Very quickly, Scott Pressler is on the line with us. He's going to be in Denver tomorrow for a special event. So before we get to Lauren Levy with Polygon Financial Group, Scott Pressler, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Kim. Thank you so much.
So just quickly, tell us about yourself.
I'm a conservative activist who is traveling the country, not only registering voters, but I'm traveling to America's cities to help do cleanups, to beautify and make America clean and green again.
You sound like William Wilberforce back in Britain. You know it? That is a...
John the Appleseed.
You got it. That is a very noble thing to be doing. You're going to be in Denver tomorrow, correct?
Yes. Yeah, I'm flying in today.
Okay, and what's going to happen tomorrow?
So tomorrow I'm going to teach a voter registration training so people can actually empower their voice at the ballot box this November. We're also going to be doing a food collection drive because a lot of people don't know that COVID has really made a lot of families struggle even to meet their basic food needs. And then as soon as we're done doing food collection, we're going to go out into the city and actually clean up some graffiti from some of the recent protests that have gone on and just try to make Denver a little bit more beautiful.
Okay, Scott Pressler, that's very exciting. So where can people go to get information about this?
Yes.
And what time does this happen?
Please go to my Facebook, Scott Pressler. There's only one S in Pressler. You can also send my DMs on Twitter at Scott Pressler. We're going to begin at 10 o'clock a.m. off of Larimer Street. And again, all of those details are going to be on my Facebook and Twitter. And we're going to be out there probably until about 3 p.m. this afternoon, 10 to 3.
Okay. Well, Scott Pressler, thanks so much. Thank you for coming out to Denver. And again, that is Pressler with one S. And really appreciate you calling in.
Thank you, Kim. Thank you. Have a great day.
Okay. You too. Lauren Levy, Polygon Financial Group. How are you this Friday?
I'm doing great. How are you, Kim?
I am doing well. Tell us, what's happening in the mortgage market? Because I think there's great opportunity right now.
There is great opportunity. It's been busy. Things have kind of stayed the same for a little while now. Rates are really low. We're getting a lot of activity from people that are just either looking to save money while they can in this environment, or several people are taking advantage of the ability to take years off their loan by refinancing to a shorter term loan, like a 15-year loan or things like that.
And this can save people thousands of dollars. What a fabulous idea.
Definitely. Over the life of a 30-year or 15-year loan, the amount of money you can save is kind of staggering when you actually sit down and do the numbers.
Okay. I was with a friend of mine yesterday that I think will be giving you a call. And she has, I think that her mortgage is like around five. And she's got maybe about 14 and a half years left. I still think it would make sense for her to contact you. If she can knock that down to in the threes someplace, I mean, that's going to help her significantly, isn't it?
It absolutely is, Kim. And I feel terrible. I get a pain in my stomach when I hear someone who's still in the fives with that has a lot of time left on their loan because they've had several years now where they've had a high rate that they've been paying basically extra money on. But yeah, she could even probably get down to like a 10-year loan and still have the same payment she has now and knock 4 years off the life of the loan and be done with it faster.
Okay.
So she's definitely someone that needs to look into this.
Okay. Okay. And what are the rates? So they're in what, the low threes right now? Is that generally where it is?
Yeah. And it really depends on how much equity you have in your credit score. We actually have one lender that's doing something pretty crazy right now where I've been doing 30-year fixed at 299 for several people this past week because they have this special program out for a limited time, and 15 years are at 275. And
really,
that's with pretty low closing costs, not a lot of added on fees. And it's just it's for a certain type of person that has enough equity and a high enough credit score. So it doesn't apply to everybody. but it's worth looking into for sure.
It is worth looking into, and it doesn't cost people anything, because if they call and let you know that they listen to the show, you will pay for their appraisal.
That's right. So the closing costs will be lower, and I'll always, my promise to all your listeners is that I will always, give them my time and for no fee, and tell them the best way to do things. Sometimes that means doing nothing, but if these opportunities are out there for people, we need to be taking advantage of them for sure.
So what's the best way for people to reach out to you, Lorne, and to do a mortgage checkup? It, doesn't cost anything.
Yeah, the best way is just call us at 303-880-8881. That's always the best way, 303-880-8881.
Well, highly recommend that people do that while these rates are down here. There's opportunity, but you have to take the opportunity when it's there. So, and Lauren Levy, you are such a valued partner of the show. I highly recommend that people reach out to you.
Well, I appreciate that. Thank you so much, Kim.
Okay, and you have a great weekend. Let's jump over here to Karen Levine. You know her. She's an award-winning realtor with RE/MAX Alliance. Karen Levine, what's happening in the real estate market in the metro area right now?
Well, things are heating up because, summer is here. And after being locked up for, 4 to 6 weeks, everybody is anxious to get back out. And I think because they spent so much time in their homes, they're thinking a change is is maybe a good thing. So it has been an exciting week. Our numbers continue to grow, which I think shows the fact that the spring selling season is going to happen in the summer. And we saw 2,129 new homes come on the market in the last 7 days. And we've seen 2,401 homes go under contract. So we continue to see more homes going under contract than coming on the market, which means the market continues to be a seller's market. But with the interest rates that Lauren is discussing and that the market is offering, it provides affordability to buyers. So I really encourage buyers who have been thinking about home ownership or a change. The opportunity really is good, and we encourage sellers to not be afraid of what's happened in the past, and to know that there are buyers in the market, and that they can get top dollar for their homes. But when we say top dollar, that means you need to be realistic. You need a professional like myself to help you price your home appropriately and get it prepared for the market, because our buyers are very particular in our marketplace, and they're very price sensitive. And if you're overpriced, they're going to shy away from even seeing your home. So they're pretty savvy buyers, but they're also willing to pay a fair market value. So things are good.
Okay. And Karen, when you're talking about these numbers, this is in the resale market, correct?
Correct. And this is, these numbers are primarily the Front Range and really the Metro Denver market. Our MLS system does accept properties from all over the state, but you're going to see that the majority of this, probably 98 to 99% of that data, is Metro Denver.
Okay. So other quick question, though, because I have seen, there's new developments that are coming on, inventory as well. And it's a good idea. You help people with those new bills as well. And it's good to have somebody that is representing your interest, that has a lot of experience and that is a professional. And I'm not sure a lot of people realize that, but that is another component that you can do to help people as they're looking to buy their home.
Yes. And new construction is a different, a different animal in that there are different things as a consumer that you need to know. And when you walk into a model home complex, the person who greets you is representing the seller and not looking out for your interests. But builders in our marketplace are very welcoming and receptive to having you come in with representation, hiring someone like myself to be your agent. And I have new home experience. I have marketed for new construction. And so I understand the ins and outs of that process. So it empowers you to know what your options are and to have somebody looking out for your interests and making sure that you're not missing something.
Well, I tell you what, working with a professional, good people, it is worth every penny that ever I've ever invested in something. And, you know, you and I have known each other for over 30 years. I highly recommend you. You are a valued partner and a professional. Karen Levine, that phone number is 303-877-7516, 303-877-7516. And I highly would recommend that people reach out to you as things are heating up in the metro market. So have a great weekend, Karen Levine.
Thank you very much, Kim. You do the same.
Okay. And speaking of professionals, we have Jason McBride with Presidential Wealth Management on the line. And welcome, Jason. It was kind of a ho-hum day in the market, but what about, didn't the unemployment numbers come out yesterday?
Yeah, they weren't quite as bad as, I was trying to think. I think they're right about as expected, maybe a little bit more like right around 2 million more unemployment claims. So, I mean, at this point, Kim, the amount of the jobs being lost or people filing for unemployment is much less than it was, but we're still getting those claims, so more jobs are going away. You know, we talked about the markets being up and how the stock market looks ahead 6 to 9 months, which is maybe why the NASDAQ is back close to an all-time high. But I think, Kim, that would be one of the things that would really put some support under this market and lessen the chance that we see another big drop or a pullback is when we could start to see some of the jobs come back.
Well, that's for sure. And as we're opening up, I mean, it's going to be different as far as, I mean, do you think we'll have a V or will it be kind of a U as far as, you know, people coming back? I mean, the market kind of looks like it thinks it might be a V, means that we came down and then we go back up. What do you think?
Yeah, the market is certainly a V as far as, gosh, Kim, I just don't know. I mean, I'm an optimist. I'd like to see all of the jobs come back and plus even more than we had before. I think it might be a little bit more of a grind than that. You know, companies do tend to figure out how to become more efficient when they have to. And, you know, if they had 10 employees before all this garbage happened, you know, a lot of companies will figure out how to do the job of 10 people with only 9 people.
Well, and you know,
So.
You know, Jason, I really think that's going to happen here in Colorado because some of the new bills that Patty has been watching and that had on the headlines is there's a number of bills down at the State House that's going to make it more expensive for employers to hire people. I don't know what this legislature has against people, you know, small businesses and people that are trying to make a living, but there's stuff that's being proposed down there. So to your point, instead of bringing back 10, they might bring back 9, but when the market is at this point, we've talked about it this week, maybe you might want to consider selling a little bit, keeping some of your powder dry. And so do a checkup, do a portfolio checkup. And Jason, I'd recommend that people reach out to you and your colleagues there at Presidential Wealth Management. What is the best way for people to reach you?
Well, a couple of easy ways. One is they can check us out on the web, Kim, at our website, which is airpresidential.com. The other way is old school. Just give us a call, 303-694-1600. Natalie will be at the switchboards at 7:30, and they can talk to any of our fine advisors they'd like to. Again, that's 303-694-1600.
Jason, thank you. You have a great weekend. You are such a valued partner. I greatly appreciate you.
Have a great show, Kim.
Thanks so much. We're going to go to break. When we come back, we'll be talking about D-Day, June 6, 1944, with retired Air Force Major General Bentley Rayburn. We'll be talking about strategy. You will not want to miss these next two segments. We'll be right back.
Karen Levine has over 30 years in the real estate industry. The reaction to the COVID-19 Wuhan virus is presenting unprecedented and unpredictable opportunities and challenges in buying or selling your home. That is why you need to work with award-winning realtor Karen Levine. Karen Levine comes highly recommended by Kim Munson. Call award-winning realtor Karen Levine today at 303-877-7516. Karen's expertise will help guide you through this crazy real estate market. Call Karen Levine at 303-877-7516 today.
You'd like to get in touch with one of Kim Munson's sponsors, but you can't recall their phone number. Find a full list of advertising partners on Kim's website, kimmunson.com. That's Kim, MONSON.com.
My country tis of
peace. Hey, welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson. Be sure and check out my website. That's Kim Munson, MONSON.com. You can email me at kim@kimmunson.com as well. Be sure and sign up for our weekly newsletter. We have all of our upcoming guests, our podcasts, our op-eds, and go over to Facebook and give us a like as well. I had the great honor in 2016 to go to Normandy, France with a group with the Denver Police Activities League that accompanied four D-Day veterans back to Normandy for the D-Day celebration. And I knew about D-Day, but I didn't really understand it. And came back realizing that we need to tell these stories. I have had the great honor to interview over 130 World War II veterans for my America's Veterans Stories show. And so tomorrow will be the 76th anniversary of D-Day. And I thought it very appropriate to talk about the strategy. It was an amazing feat what happened that day. And so in just a moment, we'll be talking with retired Air Force General, Major General Bentley Rayburn. But to set this up, in 1984, President Reagan was at Pointe du Hoc in Normandy, France, and gave an amazing speech. I've got a couple of different sound bites that we'll hear during these two segments, but the first one pretty well sets up what happened that day. So do you have that ready, Producer Steve?
We're here to mark that day in history when the Allied armies joined in battle to reclaim this continent to liberty. For four long years, much of Europe had been under a terrible shadow. Free nations had fallen. Jews cried out in the camps. Millions cried out for liberation. Europe was enslaved and the world prayed for its rescue. Here in Normandy, the rescue began. Here the Allies stood and fought against tyranny in a giant undertaking unparalleled in human history. We stand on a lonely, windswept point on the northern shore of France. The air is soft, but 40 years ago at this moment, the air was dense with smoke and the cries of men, and the air was filled with the crack of rifle fire and the roar of cannon. At dawn on the morning of the 6th of June, 1944, 225 Rangers jumped off the British landing craft and ran to the bottom of these cliffs. Their mission was one of the most difficult and daring of the invasion, to climb these sheer and desolate cliffs and take out the enemy guns.
Oh, my gosh. So joining me is, as I mentioned, retired Air Force Major General Bentley Rayburn. I am so excited to talk with you today about D-Day. That clip just takes my breath away, Bentley.
Yeah, that was a great speech that President Reagan gave in a remarkable place as well, reminding us all of the sacrifices that not only that the Rangers at Pointe du Hoc made, but so many American and Allied forces made at Normandy on the 6th of June, 44.
Well, let's talk strategy. As I mentioned, as setting this up, I was back in Normandy in 2016. And when I started to truly understand what happened that day, I thought about just the logistics of making this happen, that, you know, every paratrooper had a parachute, and then they, you know, they had enough of their sea rations, you know, for 3 days, and they had the clickers so that they could identify themselves with each other, to each other. And then, and the landing craft, you know, getting the guys on those boats to go into the beaches. There were five different beaches that were stormed that day. The worst of it was at Omaha Beach, which the first part of Saving Private Ryan, if you've seen the movie, that's pretty realistic about those guys coming onto that beach. But, you know, you're a general, and so you think about the big picture, and I think it's important for people to understand the big picture. So where should we start, Bentley?
Well, really, just a quick overview of the war. You know, Hitler invades Poland in September of 39, and he invades the Soviet Union, which had been an ally of him, in June of 41. We're still not in the war. We're not in the war until December of 41 when the Japanese bombed Pearl Harbor. So a lot of this, you know, the building of the war, we get involved, and the leaders, particularly Stalin, Churchill, and President Roosevelt, are trying to figure out, you know, what to do next. With Russia being invaded, of course, Stalin is arguing that they've got to open up this second front, and he wants the Americans and the English to invade Europe, Central Europe, right away. But both Churchill and Roosevelt, I think, understand that they're not ready for that, and it's going to take a long time. So we have the whole operation in northern Africa that ends up at the Battle of El Alamein, where Rommel is defeated in the late 1942. It's in early 1943, quite frankly, in January, that the planning for D-Day really starts in somewhat of earnest. And it, you know, it's over almost a year and a half before the event is actually going to take place. And that's what it's going to take, Kim, as you mentioned, the amazing amount of planning, of material, men, training, everything that has to go on. And it really starts, with the fact that, the United States becomes basically one big war factory, and we start putting out an enormous amount of war material that was going to be necessary by the time we invaded Europe in June of 44.
Well, and so Hitler knew, he knew that the Allies were planning, you know, many times they refer to it as the invasion. And then a friend of mine, Christy, she always says it wasn't an invasion. It was a liberation. So, you know, but Hitler knew that they were planning something. And so when I was in Normandy, I hadn't really thought about what Hitler had done to the beaches. Talk to our listeners about the fortifications and the, you know, just what had happened to the beaches that our guys had to get past.
Right. And, well, it goes a little prior to that, of course. We had a fairly extensive deception campaign, and we tried to make sure that Hitler and his generals did not know where we were going to invade. We had strategies that made sure that they understood that there might be a operation in Norway. All along the coast, from the Norwegian coast all the way down to Spain, Hitler was building an Atlantic wall, a defensive preparations. And he had put Erwin Rommel, one of the most popular German generals, in charge of building that wall. But because of shortages of concrete and manpower, because so many he had sent so many to the Eastern Front, Rommel himself said that only about 18% of the wall was built. And they were looking at places where they thought we would invade, and probably the most heavily defended place was the Pas-de-Calais, which was a seaport. They knew we needed seaports to get all of this material across and in. So they were looking at that and defending their seaports very heavily. There had been a raid at Dieppe in August of 42 that had gone very badly. But that taught us that we probably couldn't invade at a seaport because they were so heavily defended. So the five beaches were, Rommel thought that that might be a place, one of the possibilities that we could invade, and he did a lot of work. Omaha, as you mentioned, was probably the most heavily defended. Some were not nearly as defended as others, but he thought we would invade at high tide to give us the best advantage. So he put a lot of obstacles. Of course, the channel was mined. He put a lot of obstacles to stop tanks and vehicles on the beaches. And it was a very formidable defense there on the beaches, particularly in Omaha.
Now, my understanding in talking to some of these guys is that that they were told that on D-Day that the mortality rate would be 85%, and it pretty well was. But yet, those guys did it.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. The courage of these men, particularly, I mean, as you alluded to the Saving Private Ryan movie, you know, when that ramp comes down on your landing craft and there's German machine guns shooting at you and the first couple of rows of people go down, you know, the terror has got to be tremendous. One of the things that struck me about walking on the beaches at Normandy was, of course, all of the obstacles had been removed, but you realize, you picture these German soldiers up there on the heights, and they have a great view of the of the beach, and you're there on the sand, and there is literally nothing to hide behind until you get to the wall, the sea wall, or the dunes, and you just have this feeling of being completely naked out there with all of these people shooting at you. The terror must have been tremendous. There were heavy casualties, as you can imagine, and particularly in some units, the Rangers that took Point du Hoc 2 days later when they were relieved, there were only 90 of them still in shape to fight. Overall, the Allies, there's the estimates that there were about 10,000 casualties, including about 4,400 dead, more than half of which were Americans, nearly 2,500 American dead on that first day, D-Day.
Before we go to break, I will tell you, so two of the D-Day veterans that I was with, they were in Higgins boats, a landing craft. One was a ramp operator, the other was the pilot. And so I'm standing behind them at, there's actually a replica of a Higgins boat. I think that's at Utah Beach. But anyway, I was standing behind them, and they were just talking very lowly to each other. And one of them said, "Do you remember that day? The water was red. It wasn't until 3 days later the water was pink." And, you know, Bentley, that took my breath away.
Yeah.
Right. So let's go to break. When we come back, we're talking with retired Air Force General Bentley Rayburn regarding D-Day, which tomorrow will be the 76th anniversary of the day that the Allies began to liberate Europe from the evil clutches of Hitler and his National Socialist German Workers' Party, the Nazis. We'll be right back.
Recently, rates in the mortgage market have hit near record lows. Lorne Levy with Polygon Financial notes that the COVID-19 Wuhan virus disruption has created potential opportunities to refinance your mortgage that could save you thousands of dollars. And for those senior listeners who may be looking for another source of income, exploring a reverse mortgage with Lorne Levy may be a solution. With over 17 years in the mortgage industry, Lorne Levy has the experience to answer your questions. Call Lorne Levy at 303-880-8881. That's 303-880-8881 for a mortgage checkup today.
All of Kim's sponsors are an inclusive partnership with Kim and are not affiliated with or in partnership with KLZ or Crawford Broadcasting. If you would like to support the work of the Kim Munson Show and grow your business, contact Kim at her website, kimmunson.com. That's Kim Munson, M-O-N-S-O-N.com.
Mine eyes have seen the glory of the coming of the Lord.
Welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson. Be sure and check out my website. That's kimmunson.com, M-O-N-S-O-N.com. You can email me at kim@kimmunson.com as well. Be sure and sign up for our weekly newsletter and give us a like over on Facebook. On the line with me is retired Air Force Major General Bentley Rayburn. We're talking about D-Day. So, Bentley, you're a general. I can't quite think what might be going through Ike Eisenhower's mind that day. You know, there's the picture of him addressing the paratroopers before they're getting on the airplanes to go over and jump in behind enemy lines. What a responsibility must have been on his heart. What's your thoughts about that, Bentley?
Well, absolutely. I mean, the lives of clearly thousands of people were at stake, and he knew that thousands would probably die on the beaches and inland in just the first day and two. So, he knew that the buck stopped with him, but also he had been in the planning, and he had argued for his positions and one of the more important things was that we did have a single commander, and unity of command was key, particularly when you're going into such a major operation with a variety of allied forces. I mean, it wasn't just the U.S. and Germany. We had Free French, we had Poles, we had Norwegians, all participating in the invasion. So, he felt the weight of the decisions that he had made and was going to make, for sure.
Well, and, you know, I've there's so many different stories where these guys, you kind of say, why did they do that? Because, you know, here they are, they're, you know, far away from their families. They're, standing against an evil, tyrannical dictator. And, you know, why did they put their lives on the line? And I submit to you, Bentley, it's because that they've thought of something bigger than themselves. I know stories of that, but why do you think they did it?
Well, I think you're right, Kim. I mean, in one sense, they all knew, many had signed up just because they knew that the country had been attacked and it was their duty to go help defend the country. They were well-trained. That was key. They had a heart of, you know, they had a heart of a warrior, and you know, you've heard over and over again that once you get into battle, you're not fighting for this altruistic thing. You're fighting for your buddy who's next to you, and because of the amount of time that they had spent together in training and in their units, they had built this wonderful unit cohesion that that meant that they would be willing to sacrifice for their buddy. And many of them did over the course of the next days and months.
And so let's talk, though, go back to a little bit more bigger picture then. Regarding Eisenhower, they initially thought that they would do the liberation on June 5th, but the weather was so bad. And can you tell people a bit about, I mean, the seas were so choppy and, you know, these guys getting off the landing craft with, you know, these heavy packs. Tell us a bit about that.
Right. Well, the weather was bad. And interestingly, because the Allies had control of the Atlantic, the Germans had much less weather information to go on. The Luftwaffe weather center was in Paris, basically. And they thought that the bad weather was going to go on for about 2 weeks. And for that reason, a number of the German commanders weren't even around. In fact, Rommel had gone back to Germany, not only for the his wife's birthday, but to try to convince Hitler that he needed more Panzer units for the defense of France. And so when the weather was really bad on the 5th, it looked like it was going to be at least okay on the 6th, because Eisenhower was looking not only at the weather, but the tides and the moon phase, and there wasn't going to be another good time to do it until another about 2 weeks out. So it was either the 6th or like the 18th or 19th of June would be the next time to do it. And trying to hold that enormous operation mm-hmm. that had really kind of already started on its way without letting the Germans know what was happening was almost impossible. So it was a question of, the weather was bad, but could we still do it? And the answer was yes, and that's why Eisenhower said, okay, we're going to slip 24 hours and go on the 6th.
Well, and you talk about the planning. My understanding is that they had decoys at some of the other places where Hitler thought that they might start the liberation, and I guess what, they parachuted in dummies that, you know, sounded like they were shooting or whatever. I mean, it was a huge operation what they did, Bentley.
Yeah, the deception plan really did work. And it was, there were many facets of it. You know, they had created this fake army under General Patton because the Germans couldn't believe that they would have anybody but Patton run the show. And they not only had fake material and stuff and fake radio transmissions about an attack on Norway and things like that, but then the real operations, they took those radio transmissions, sent them basically on the ground, and then transmitted them from Patton's area up near, I forget where he was, further north. And so all of these things, they had double agents and so on. You mentioned the parachutists. The Germans really did not know. And the problem was, they had a very complicated command structure. Rommel had argued to have the defenses and get the Allies right there on the beaches. Rammstedt and others argued, no, we needed to keep them back near Paris, figure out where they really landed and would go forward. And then Hitler ended up giving Rommel three divisions, Rammstedt three divisions, and then he kept four divisions under his own control and said they could not be used unless he ordered them. And so in that indecisiveness and complicated command structure, Rommel really couldn't mount much of a defense. And because of our air supremacy, we had really damaged the infrastructure, so it would have been very difficult for them to bring up reinforcements if they weren't close to the beaches in the first place.
And what is amazing is now the guys jumped in behind enemy lines. The paratroopers were supposed to, you know, take out some of the guns, like at Point du Hoc, take out the big guns there, and, you know, prepare for, you know, soften things so that it was not going to be so difficult for the guys coming in on the landing craft. Of course, you know, the Army Air Corps, they're coming in, you know, doing bombing. And unfortunately, if you can only imagine, you know, all of the shooting and you know, all of the anti-aircraft, you know, gunfire, you know, all of that happening, many of our pilots, you know, got off their drop zones and, you know, didn't hit their marks. So quickly talk about that, because then I want to play this clip again from Ronald Reagan's speech. So what's your thoughts on that, Bentley?
Well, I'd just say they didn't have GPS. The weather was bad. There was a lot of anti-aircraft fire, and yeah, you're right. They missed a lot of the targets, but because of the great training, you know, once the men got on the ground, they figured out how to where they needed to go, and they got themselves back together and organized, and then were put into fighting operations again.
And by the end of the day, on June 6, 1944, the Allies had a toehold on the continent of Europe. I want to play this clip very quickly and then get a quick comment from you, Bentley. This has gone way too quickly, but can you hit that, producer Steve?
Those who say that we're in a time when there are no heroes, they just don't know where to look. the sloping hills of Arlington National Cemetery with its row upon row of simple white markers bearing crosses or stars of David. They add up to only a tiny fraction of the price that has been paid for our freedom. Each one of those markers is a monument to the kind of hero I spoke of earlier. Their lives ended in places called Belleau Wood, the Argonne, Omaha Beach, Salerno, and halfway around the world on Guadalcanal, Tarawa, Porkchop Hill, the Chosin Reservoir, and in 100 rice paddies and jungles of a place called Vietnam.
Billy Rayburn, June 6, 1944. Your last thought.
Well, I'll tell you, now not all 10,000 of the people in the cemetery there at Normandy were killed or died on the beach, but you don't understand the price we paid, these men paid, until you stand in the middle of 10,000 crosses and Stars of David.
Well, that's for sure.
It really is. It's really amazing the price that these people paid and have paid throughout our history and continue to pay today.
And it was primarily kids. So, hey, Bentley Rayburn, we are out of time. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Kim. Bye-bye.
And our quote for today, Dwight D. Eisenhower, he said, my friends, that only Americans can hurt Americans. So just think about what's happening in our world right now, and it is our time. We stand on the shoulders of giants, and we need to engage in this battle of ideas that is raging in our country and our state today. So today, my friends, be grateful, read great books, think good thoughts, listen to beautiful music, communicate and listen well, live honestly and authentically, strive for high ideals, and like Superman, stand for truth, justice, and the American way. This is Kim Munson signing off. God bless you, and God bless America. And I don't